The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. Coming up, a conversation with one of the Celtic tenors. There are actually three of them. They're going to be performing at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday for a 3 o'clock concert. First, though, a conversation with the man who is generally considered acknowledged to be the first percussionist to gain international recognition as a successful solo artist using what are known as frame drums. We had an introduction to frame drums from Rocky Moffat earlier this week. Rocky is curating the Day of the Drum at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow, and Glenn Velez is one of the guests who he has engaged to participate twice on the program. He's coming with Laurie Kotler, who is a vocalist, for a performance at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then they're giving a rhythm workshop at 4 in the afternoon in which all can participate. Both of those are free events. I'll be talking with Glenn Velez very shortly here on Live and Local. Music was called Vox Magica. It comes off of a CD called Rhythms of the Chakras, Volume 2, featuring Glenn Velez, who has gotten to be called the father of the modern frame drum movement. Also, his wife, Laurie Kotler, is involved in that CD. And both of them are coming to the Krannert Center as part of the Day of the Drum this Saturday. They're giving their Takadimi project in performance at 1 in the afternoon, and then doing a rhythm workshop together at 4 in the afternoon. And curator Rocky Moffat, when he was on our show the other day, introduced us a little bit to the notion of the frame drum and played a few examples. But we have the father himself, so to speak, on the phone with us. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
So it's always nice to be able to say about somebody who's on your radio show, a 5-time Grammy Award winner or something like that. But I have to be honest, I don't know where the Grammys came from. But I'm guessing they represent some of the breadth of the work that you've done over the years.
Yeah, the Grammys are from the collaborations I've done with Paul Winter.
All of them?
Yeah, and they, over the last 20 years or so, I did many recordings with him, and over that period, these various Grammys came in.
Well, and you've had collaborations with such an enormous variety of people, in addition to your own solo work, ranging anywhere from the composer Steve Reich to composer Tan Dun, Pat Metheny, some work in early music, working with symphony orchestras and writing music for ballet companies, dance companies, and for your own purposes, chamber music as well. What got you interested in the frame drum specifically?
Well, I have a background in percussion in terms of classical music. I went to Manhattan School of Music, so I studied the classical orchestral repertoire in that period in my life. And then after I got out of school, I was wanting to study more about world music or world hand drumming. And so I got involved with a South Indian drummer who started to give me some lessons in that style of music. And he saw a tambourine on my studio in New York City, where I lived at the time. And he said, oh, we play tambourine in South India. And so he took that down and started to play it in a style, Kanjira style, which is South Indian tambourine. And I was just blown away by it. I had never seen anything like it. I didn't know that you could do such a variety of things on the tambourine using the hand manipulations. And so I said, let's study that. And that's how it started. That was in 1977. And then living in New York, I started to say, well, I know that the Brazilians are into tambourine, that the musicians from the Arabic world are into tambourine. So I started to go and check out the different performances of these styles, which was possible to do in this New York City. And then I started to study it. And gradually I just became more and more absorbed in finding out more and more about what you can do with the tambourine. And it just kind of took over my life after about 4 or 5 years of that studying. And then I just switched everything from the orchestral styles into playing using the hands and just focusing on the tambourine. And the broader category is called frame drum, and the tambourine is one type of frame drum, but there's many types.
And you pretty much cover all of the many types, I imagine.
Well, a lot of it, you know, it's one of those things that because it's so widely distributed around the world that you it would take several lifetimes to just get involved with all the different ways that you can play the tambourine. But, you know, the basic thing is that it's very surprising from our cultural standpoint, where we haven't had a lot of background in seeing the tambourine played elaborately. So it's very surprising to Western audiences the variety of things you can do with it, not only the hand manipulations, but also the tonal varieties and the tonal quality that you can get out of the drum. It's just, you know, it's very, very, very surprising, especially given the size of the drum, because they're small, you know, they're not huge. And so you think of a small drum as one that has a small voice, but the tambourine actually can be very loud. It could be very low in pitch. So it has a lot of surprising qualities.
You mentioned the Indian drummer who inspired you in the first place. Was he? Did he demonstrate some of the vocalizing that Indian drummers do as well at that time?
Exactly. That's how I got involved with the vocalizations, the rhythm vocalizations called... They're called a solcatu or conical. Those are two words that are used for the drum language that's used in South India. And that became a big part of what I do by incorporating that into the teaching method that I have. So I found that it just is a very quick way and a really accelerator in terms of getting in people into the frame drum techniques and the frame drum rhythms. It helps really a lot to get it go faster and make it more accessible to people. And then I got Lori involved with that when we started to work together, and then she has become very, very proficient in that, and it's startling to hear her renditions of these drum compositions, because she can go so fast and so articulate. She can literally go as fast as I can play. She can vocalize the rhythms just as fast. So we emphasize that in our performance with the Takadimi project. We emphasize that aspect of what we're doing because it the audiences seem to really appreciate seeing the connection between the drum and the voice and how organic it makes the experience.
Takadimi are actually four syllables, Takadimi, and spelled, I mean, the way they're spelled in the project, they're all capitalized. Do each of them represent different sounds when drumming?
They can, but their application is a little bit broader than that. They really represent cycles or cells. So whenever you have a little phrase that has four units to it, so if you're saying like pa 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 pa, so four notes, then instead of you use Takadimi so that you can have vocalizations that not only are clearly four, but they also can be done at different speeds, and it can go very fast. So there's syllable representations for 3, 2, 5, 7, 9, whatever you've got in terms of the rhythmic material, you can represent that with the vocalizations. So they have, not only are they sometimes allied with the actual drum sounds, as far as doom and tak, high and low pitches, but they also represent the rhythmic contour of what you're playing. So they have kind of dual purpose when you're using them in the drum language context.
I guess if you tried to do four pas in a row, you couldn't go so fast.
Exactly, and that's the point of using these syllables, so that you can obviously say them slow, but they have this potential for very, very quick speed.
Let's hear you with Lori Kotler. This is a piece called, do I pronounce it right, Tel Halaf?
Tel Halaf, that's correct.
Tel Halaf, what does that mean?
Tel Halaf is a place in modern-day Israel that was an ancient site. It was an ancient place, a town in ancient Israel.
And it's Glenn Velez with Lori Kotler. They're going to be participating in the Day of the Drum on Saturday at the Krannert Center in Urbana for a performance at 1 o'clock and then a rhythm workshop at 4 in the afternoon. And Glenn Velez is my guest on this portion of Live and Local.
Doom da doom.
Doom da doom.
Doom doom pa. Do doom pa pa. Doom doom
doo doom
pa 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 doom
doo doom
pa
doom
doom
pa pa
doom
doom
pa pa doom
doo doom
pa doom
doom
pa
pa
doom
doom pa
pa
doom
doo doom
pa
pa
doom
doom
doo doom doo doom
doo
doom
pa
doom doom
pa
doom doom doo doom doo doom pa doom doom doo pa doom doom doo pa doom doom doo pa doom doom doo pa.
Glenn Velez with Lori Kotler performing a tune called Tel Halaf, which I found on a CD called Tamburi Mundi, The Wizards of Rhythm from 2009. Velez and Kotler will be at the Krannert Center tomorrow participating in Day of the Drum. You can get the complete schedule at krannertcenter.com. There's actually more to that conversation that I had the other day with Glenn Velez, which I will put up on our website. We always do archive the show, by the way, on the site, which is will.illinois.edu, and the Live and Local page can be found right on the home page. And sometimes we have complete segments of music that you heard that you heard on the show. Many times we have to truncate those for copyright and permissions reasons. Whenever we have live performances in our studio, those are always up complete on the website. So if you hear a show that you enjoyed in the past but find very shortened musical segments, that is the reason. One of these days we hope to fix that little issue, but for now that's where we are with that. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Our program today is made possible with support from the Danville Symphony Orchestra, presenting pictures at an exhibition, and the Grieg Piano Concerto with special guest pianist Grace Fong this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Danville High School Auditorium. More information is available from the Symphony Office at 443-5300. Stay tuned, coming up very shortly, for my conversation with James Nelson, one of the three Celtic tenors who will be performing in Bloomington on Sunday afternoon.
As I was going to the fair at Dingle one fine morning last July, when going down the road before me a red-haired girl I
knew. We were with the priest this very morn. Tonight we lie in a marriage bed. Keep your hands up, Brother Mary. She and I are to be wed. We were with the priest this very morn. Tonight we lie in a marriage bed.
There was a song called Red-Haired Mary. Words by Sean McCarthy, traditional music as arranged by and performed by, arranged by Dervish and the Celtic Tenors and performed by the Celtic Tenors. The Celtic Tenors are Matthew Gilsonan, James Nelson, and Daryl Simpson, and they are all coming to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon for a concert at 3 o'clock. And I have with me on the phone right now from Ireland, as a matter of fact, James Nelson. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Kevin. Thank you.
So a question I should perhaps know the answer to, but I don't. Are you the three original Celtic tenors?
Well, it's interesting. No, we're not quite. There's been one change in lineup. back 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, Niall Morris, who was in the original lineup since the year 1999 or 2000, decided he'd kind of had enough of touring around the world, and he decided he wanted to take a break. And he thought maybe he'd take a year off, and then after a year he just thought, no, I don't think I can do the touring thing anymore. So the guy who had stepped in for him, Daryl Simpson, a wonderful young tenor from Northern Ireland who took a break from Zurich Opera, said he'd love to stay on. So Daryl has been with us ever since. So there's been just the one change in lineup. I mean, the group started way back, I suppose, in 1995, but really our first record deal was 1999-2000.
Well, there's a note in the biographical profile for you guys that something happened in 2000 where you all walked into a EMI for an audition or something like that?
Absolutely. We had done a big run of shows in Dublin, a residency, which as classically trained singers, we were not used to doing more than maybe three opera performances a week, that kind of thing, or some or like three or four oratorios or whatever. But we were doing six shows a week. In fact, it was 136 shows in a row with very little breaks. And a guy came along and said he thought that we needed a record deal, and we agreed. We said, great, wonderful. So he took us to London, to EMI and to Decca, and both were very interested, but EMI signed up immediately, so we just went with EMI straight away. And it was the stuff of dreams, really. We did three albums, and they took a fourth option. So we did four albums basically on EMI immediately, and then changed because we were doing more in America and we felt we needed a different direction, different record companies. So yeah, it was very exciting. The stuff of dreams, really.
And recording
in Abbey Road Studio, sorry.
Oh, sure.
You know, the same studio as the Beatles, which is kind of cool.
Right, the Beatles and a whole lot of other famous people. And now
Absolutely.
You're famous people. Well,
hardly.
The CD from which we just played Red Haired Mary is your latest. It feels like home, and I think you said it's the eighth or the ninth?
Yeah, eighth. Well, kind of, there's been a few compilations as well, but the eighth of our own CDs. And we think, just because Ireland, I'm sure, you wouldn't know anything about recessions in the US, of course. You know,
No.
Ireland at the moment, we've got something called a recession. And we just wanted it to be a kind of a warm and fuzzy and positive feeling album. So there's a real feeling of home in it. And it's apart from the record company, which is American, and we're very grateful to Telarc for using us again and, you know, promoting us so well. The actual album is an all-Irish team. It's an Irish record producer, an Irish photographer, and the orchestra is our national orchestra, the RTE Concert Orchestra, which for us was just, it was amazing that they agreed to play on this. So it was really, really great. So we hope anyway that there's a real feeling of home and warmth and fuzziness. There's three songs with home in the title. As well, which we hope that it makes people feel positive and it uplifts people. It's also kind of got a feeling from the live show, we hope, as well. We're kind of hard to label or to categorize, because in the shows, when people see us, we do a bit of everything. We kind of could be singing Ness and Dorma 1 minute and then an a cappella, If She Moved Through the Fair, Danny Boy, we've even done toured with Air Supply singing All Out of Love, and you know, so I suppose we go as far as we can, really. There are some things we might not do, you know. We haven't done rap yet.
That was going to be my question, yeah. Whether rap has figured rap or hip-hop so far.
We kind of... And maybe we don't like rap so much. No, that's okay. No, I shouldn't say that. That's terrible. Sorry.
Well, since you've mentioned some of the three home songs on your CD, which is called Feels Like Home, which is the name the name of one of the songs, I thought I'd maybe play the last one on the CD, which is called Westering Home.
Yeah, Westering Home comes from the Western Isles of Scotland, and actually we learned it in Irish originally, in Gaelic, because when we're growing up in Ireland, we learn two languages, English and Irish, and we learned it as Trasna na Daunta. But of course, you being Kevin Kelly, you'd know what that means.
I haven't a clue.
Irish name.
I haven't a clue.
It means across the waves. But Westering Home is kind of talking about going home to the Western Isles, going home to the Hebrides, the Hebride Islands, and it's just a lovely kind of, I suppose it's a boat song, really, going across the ocean home to your loved ones.
Westering Home with the Celtic Tenors, and I'm talking to one of the three Celtic Tenors, who is James Nelson, and they're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts for a concert Sunday afternoon, and you're listening to them here on Live and Local. Called Westering Home, which is a song written by Hugh Robertson and comes off of the CD called Feels Like Home by the Celtic Tenors. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, they'll be in Bloomington Sunday afternoon, and I'm talking with one of the three original Celtic Tenors, James Nelson, as he explained earlier. They're nearly, you know, the Daryl Simpson has been around for so long, he is almost original, I guess. And, you know, I noticed, James, while I was listening through, once I had to look at a video, of course, to figure out, well, which of you was whom, at least in one song. And it seemed to me that as I was listening through that somebody had a more pronounced Irish accent than the other, and it seems to be Daryl. Is that generally true?
It's interesting that you should think Daryl has the most pronounced Irish accent. I'm sure he'd... he wouldn't agree, because he's actually from Northern Ireland, so maybe you're hearing a more Northern Irish accent. Matthew and I are from the South. In fact, we kind of often say that that's what's maybe good about the present lineup, is that one is from the North, and two are from the South, and one is a Catholic, and two are Protestants. So, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, we wouldn't have been seen on the same stage together at all, probably, you know. And Daryl, what you're hearing is probably a Northern Irish accent. But I thought you might have guessed that Matthew had the pronounced Irish accent, if anyone. No, I'm not sure.
Well,
I can't answer the question.
That could be maybe on the there's a video of you all on the Bloomington website, Bloomington Center for Performing Arts website, doing Danny Boy, and so I'm just trying to pair, you know, match the face to the sound of the CD, because I haven't seen you guys live at all.
Okay.
But that actually does raise a question. You know, they chose to put Danny Boy on there, and I've frequently been told that many Irish musicians would just as soon never people never request that song because it's so overdone. And I wondered how you guys feel about it.
Well, yeah, because we originally did record Danny Boy in our first album, because EMI said, well, you've got to do Danny Boy because you're an Irish act. And we had I do a lot of the vocal arrangements for the group, most of them, and I had a three-part arrangement a cappella of Danny Boy. And we did it for a few years, and then we were coming to America, and we thought, well, why don't we do Shenandoah instead, because it's kind of like, perhaps, maybe like America's answer to Danny Boy. And then when we went to Canada, we found a new alternative. It's an accompanied one, but we did Ian Tyson's Four Strong Winds, another close harmony sort of number. And then the Welsh one, we decided to do a three-part Welsh one. But everywhere we go, people say, but you've got to sing Danny Boy, you know. And it just seems to still have a huge resonance. I mean, there are some people in every audience who say, oh, not Danny Boy again, gosh. But We still do it.
Well, I have to admit an extreme soft spot for the song myself, even though I've heard many times that to an Irish person it's a little old hat, I guess, but it really does travel, and even though I don't absorb the words so much, there's something about the music that really ends up being very touching anyway.
Absolutely, and also I think it's in pub situations or maybe in festival situations, it's murdered sometimes, you know, or belted out. But the original story of the father sending his son off to war, we just thought it was quite powerful with three guys singing it together in a cappella harmony, you know, would be a different take on it. It's often not done in harmony, you know. And our group is a very kind of harmony-based group, and we swap over every line and stuff, and it's a kind of a tenor democracy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of harmony, and not quite a cappella, but pretty close, you have a traditional tune here called She Moved Through the Fair, which is this Scottish or Irish, this one?
Oh, She Moved Through the Fair is definitely Irish. It's a very haunting kind of, like a dream sequence, almost, and... Yeah, it's a very sad song, really, because obviously the bride has moved on. But again, it's such a wide, not a wide range, but it's a very, very hard one to harmonize, and we avoided it for many years because we also thought that perhaps it was a lady's song. And then we thought, well, actually, it's really more a man's song when you hear about it because it's talking about this girl. Again, I did the arrangement of that and just tried to do it in a much more ethereal sort of setting, and I hope it works.
Well, I think it works beautifully. I love the song.
And, great.
Yeah, and I think it's really marvelous here. The Celtic Tenors, who will be performing at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. This comes from their latest CD, which is called Feels Like Home. And my guest on Live and Local, this portion of the show, is James Nelson with us here on FM 90.9.
Young love said to me, my till our wedding day.
It's called She Moved Through the Fair, sung by the Celtic Tenors, the three Celtic Tenors, who will be in Bloomington Sunday afternoon, and my guest is one of them, who's James Nelson. And, you know, I guess there's so many tenor takeoffs from the three tenors, who were, of course, Luciano Pavarotti, who is now gone, Placido Domingo, and Jose Carreras, who are unashamedly opera singers, and... I suppose I use that term maybe not very well. You guys all have an operatic background, but you mix up the genres in your Celtic tenor shows quite a bit. And I'm not sure I would have guessed necessarily from listening that you all did have an operatic background because, you know, the three original tenors, they sound like almost, you know, the guys who can compete to see who can sing the loudest and the highest. And you guys definitely don't do that. At least not on the recording.
No, we don't on the recordings. I think when we were with EMI originally, they kind of said, you know, we have Placido Domingo, we have all these wonderful tenors. So at the moment, what we want you to do is to do songs from your own country. And they were really struck by our harmonies and stuff. But in the show, if people come along, we will be singing Granada, Agustín Lara. We'll be doing Nessun Dorma at the end of the show. We do Finiculi, Finicula. We're doing the Pearl Fishers duet, except it'll be a trio, mm-hmm. An extra fisherman. You know, and the Holy City, which ends on top seas and things. So in the show, we do get a chance to show off, I suppose, our training. All three of us have done operatic roles. In fact, very recently, just this year, I did my first role in 12 years. I stood in at short notice and did the lead tenor, the role of Calaf, in Dublin, in Turandot. And I thought, gosh, I haven't done a role in 12 years, but it actually went great. So I'm still getting a chance the odd time to show what I was trained in. And, you know, so in the show, though, we do, as I say, all those classical numbers and then songs from Feels Like Home, some a cappellas, and we will be throwing in and a few cheesy numbers like All Out of Love. And, you know, so I suppose our thinking is that if people... think, oh, Celtic tenors, I'm not sure about Celtic music. They don't have to wait long until they get into the classical moment or the pop moment. And if they don't like the classical moment, then they will be getting lots of Irish songs too. So we do them in kind of pairs throughout the show, but there really is a huge mix. It's very, very hard to label us or categorize us. We just do songs that we enjoy singing.
Well, I do have to ask then, since I know you all do sing High Season there, who sings the highest? Who can sing the highest?
Oh, I can't possibly answer that. Well, actually, we all swap over. There are songs we do. Remember Me was a song that was written especially for the Celtic Tenors in 1999, 2000. And we all sing the top Cs in that together, unison, which can be quite exciting, especially if they're in tune. And then at the end of The Holy City, again, we sing unison top Cs. But in All Out of Love, Daryl has a D, one lone D, above high C, and I've got about 14 top Cs in All Out of Love. People don't know that, but you're asking me. So
I am asking.
But we swap over all the time, and we each get a glory moment, very much so, all the way through the evening. I think we're all fairly equal high voices. Daryl, we've got very different voices classically. Daryl has a very high, light voice and would have done a lot of Mozart and Rossini in his time. Matthew's perhaps got a slightly heavier voice and very much more, I think he's more of a vocal chameleon. He can really adapt to any style at all. I've been described maybe as the more perhaps Verismo, Spinto type of when I'm singing classically, and that's why I did the Turandot, you know, Puccini. So, and my roles that I did were Pinkerton and Butterfly and that kind of thing, the heavier operatic. But then hopefully when we're singing Danny Boy and such like, we do blend our voices and change them to the style, to suit the style. I hope that answers your question, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, I was going to follow it up with something that you actually partly answered. We always talk about the high C's, and I'm thinking, well, why stop there? And apparently somebody gets a D in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there's a D in there. And in fact, on another show, depending on the repertoire, I have a D as well. But I'd always we'd always warm up higher, you know, to make sure that the C is secure and everything. And, of course, then people will say, but you're amplified. You know, there are sometimes, if the acoustic is really good, we put the microphones down and just sing acoustic. And if we're in a church and the acoustic is perfect, we'll do the whole concert acoustically. One thing we don't do is lip sync or mime or anything like that. We'll always be singing live.
Well, I'm actually very glad to hear about both of those things. Both, you know, you play to the acoustic, and I didn't actually expect that you would have lip synced.
But I think I'd blush if I lip synced.
Do you have? Are you coming with? What kind of backing are you coming with to Bloomington?
Well, we have we've had a few changes in the lineup over the 12 years that we've been together in musical director. And our latest one has been with us for almost 2 years now, and his name is Colm Rogan, and he is depressingly young and very talented. He's only 22, and he comes from just a little town called Drumiskin outside Dundalk in County Louth, and he graduated only 2 years ago with his BMus. Three of us have BMuses, Colm, myself and Daryl have BMuses. Matthew was graduated as an engineer. But Colm is incredibly talented young guy. So it'll be mostly Colm on the grand piano, and then we do a cappella numbers as well. And then we Daryl plays guitar. I will sit down and play a number by the piano to give the guys a break sometimes and that kind of thing. But sometimes on tour as well, we will join a big symphony orchestra. We did the Cincinnati Pops, for example, a few times, and we did the Vancouver Symphony. And, you know, we're going to China in August and September to sing with the Fujian Symphony Orchestra. So sometimes we'll join an orchestra. So from a cappella to full orchestra. But for Bloomington on Sunday afternoon, it'll be piano and three voices and a guitar and the odd little bit of percussion here and there.
Well, it'll be a great, nice, intimate a musical experience in a relatively intimate setting. It's a beautiful small hall, plenty of room to for your vocal cords to expand, so to speak. And I want to explain one bit of lingo to our listeners who may not have caught it. You referred to BMus, which means a Bachelor of Music.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Out of college. I know what that means, but
I was showing up. I was trying to prove that not all tenors are brainless.
Yes, well, and actually, you and I have
no brains.
You and I share both a BMus and a BA, so you have two degrees of some kind. I see.
Gosh.
What's your arts degree in?
My arts degree is music and French, and then I went on to do a Bachelor of Music Honors. And I was, if you're interested, I was the youngest ever Bachelor of Music from University College Dublin, because it's a 4-year degree, and I graduated at 20. So I was in at 16.
Well, congratulations.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have taken more time to do it.
Well, you seem to be doing just fine right now. And since you mentioned language by sort of association as a French major, and earlier you said you've sung, of course, you sing most things in English, some things in Irish, and I think you do one in Scots Gaelic, didn't you say?
We have one in Scots Gaelic, and we do some in French and Spanish and Latin, and lately, just on the last album, we have this Welsh song, because we do quite a bit in the Middle East as well. We're going to Dubai and Abu Dhabi and Qatar in May. We always go and do a tour there every year, and every time we go out there, there are a lot of expats, Irish and Scots and English, and a lot of Welsh.
Really?
And they always say, you call yourself Celtic. There's no Welsh songs in your program. So this year, we can go out and sing it in hopefully what is our very well-coached Welsh, I'm hoping.
So you do need to be coached on it then?
Oh, very much so. It's a very, very, very difficult language. Looks nothing like it pronounced. You know, I mean, Italian's lovely with its five vowels and looks more or less as it sounds, you know. But in Welsh, no. It's very
Like Irish does?
Good point.
You said Irish, earlier, you know, as somebody with a name like Kevin Kelly, surely I know, but I'm always embarrassed to admit that of the many languages I need to at least pronounce on this radio station, every time I encounter Irish, I just refuse because I haven't a clue what to do with it.
To spell your name in Gaelic, your name is Cuivín Y Chali, and as Kevin in Irish is Caoimhi Father N. So it doesn't really look like it. You're quite right.
Yeah, so take that. Take that. Well, we're going to go out with the Welsh song, for example, how it looks is spelled Suogan, but you tell me it's pronounced Siogan, and I guess that's what you're told it's pronounced.
Yep, it's Siogan, and it's just really a lullaby to a baby. It kind of suited, we sang it at Christmas quite a lot, because it could be a lullaby to a baby Jesus, but, you know, it really is just a lullaby to a baby. And it's just one small part of what the Celtic Tenors do. And, you know, if people do want to come along on Sunday, it would be wonderful, because there's something, honestly, I know it's a cliche, but there is something for everybody in the audience.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. James Nelson is one of the three Celtic Tenors, and the concert on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Their website is artsblooming.org. The toll-free box office number is 866-686-9541. And, you know, I didn't actually write down the Celtic Tenors' web address. What is
it? Well, it's very simple. It's CelticTenors.com, CelticTenors.com. And the link to Bloomington is on there, too.
Marvelous to talk with you and to have a splendid journey on this trip to the U.S. And thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you very much indeed.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9 with the Celtic Tenors.
In a blentin the man was cleadach an as a duhon brech iai mam si.
Siogan, a Welsh song sung by the Celtic Tenors, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can see villages, castles, and manors from Masterpiece and Mystery and more in England and Wales for 14 days beginning September 27th. If American history appeals, board WYLL's Civil War train, a private vintage train cars leaving for the southern battlefields with historian Anthony Pitch, September 7th. Information is available at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300. Here are some of the events you can see and hear live this weekend in our listening area. The Big Creek Guitar Band is at Huber's in Champaign tonight at 8 o'clock. Penny Dreadful Players present All the Queen's Men at University Place Christian Church in Champaign tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Boss Tenors are at the Iron Post and Urbana this evening at 5. I'm assuming those are tenor saxes, but I'm not sure about that. The musical Avenue Q is presented by ADHD Productions at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight and tomorrow at 8 with a Sunday matinee at 2. Reverend Robert is at Toasters in Mattoon tonight at 9 o'clock. The Shanties are at the Knights of Columbus in Bloomington tonight at 7. The Emerald Underground is at Robbie's Restaurant in Springfield this evening at 5:30. It's Travels of the Ugly Duckling, Irish Dance and Contemporary Ballet from the CU Park District's Dance Arts School, Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign tonight at 7, tomorrow at 2. Illinois Rail play bluegrass at Theater School in Bloomington tonight at 8 o'clock. It's the a cappella group Chi-Town presenting their spring show, I guess pre-spring show, at Follinger Auditorium on the Quad at the University of Illinois in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Illinois Central Blues Club's 26th anniversary concert is at the Knights of Columbus in Springfield tomorrow night at 7:30. It's Dave Hoffman and Paul Adams in concert at Unitarian Universalist Church in Peoria tomorrow night at 7. Diversity play jazz at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Sinfonietta Camera performs at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. There's a harp ensemble concert at the Champaign Public Library tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. The Danville Symphony Orchestra performs at Danville High School Auditorium tomorrow night at 7:30. The Community Center for the Arts gives its annual faculty showcase concert and presents a silent auction at Unitarian Universalist Church in Urbana Sunday at 4. Chicago Farmer in documentary and performance at the Castle Theater in Bloomington Sunday night at 7:30. Parkland College presents its concert band and orchestra program called Fascinating Rhythm at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign, Sunday afternoon at 3. It's the University of Illinois University and Campus Bands at the Krannert Center in Urbana, Sunday afternoon at 3, followed at 7:30 by the Harding and Hinesley Symphonic Bands. Pianist Ian Hobson continues to present the complete solo piano works of Robert Schumann in a program called Florestan and Eusebius at the Krannert Center in Urbana, Sunday night at 7:30. And it's a program of Irish storytelling and music with Dan Ketting, Kathy Brinkman, and others at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Our show today is made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features wines from California, including Sean Minor Chardonnay, Traviesto Rhone Blend, and High Flyer Syrah, followed by live music from 7 to 9 by the Klezmer Band Don't Ask. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. One of the concerts I didn't mention a moment ago but will mention now is at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur tomorrow night at 7:30, as long as we're on the Irish theme. It's a band that we interviewed members of a year ago, right almost to the day. They're called Slide Ireland, traditional Irish music, and I thought I'd go out with music from a recording of theirs, which is actually a live record, and these are tunes called, depending upon how many we get to, Old Man Lynch, Poor Liza Jane, and Dance, Boatman Dance. Slide Ireland at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur tomorrow night, heard here on Live and Local.